Okay, it's a little dangerous to give the vada on the topic of shovim. So anybody who wants to be here, the tenai is that if I cause you to do any averus, you'll be makabel on yourself to take full responsibility for it. But, and if you're listening on any of these recordings, okay. Anyways, though, hopefully I won't cause you to do any averus. Okay, there are a number of questions that were submitted. Just for the record, I didn't ask for questions to be submitted, but well, some of them we could have fun with, but some of them I won't answer. What? Okay. A person that seems on the surface, if to listen to this question carefully. A person that seems on the surface not to have a taiva for woman, is it safe to think he has a taiva for men? If yes, what is the solution to help him, and is it dangerous for the yeshiva? So I'm trying to do my eye into this question here. Let's class it again. Let's go one step at a time. A person that seems on the surface not to have a taiva for woman. So that means that it's based on the fact that I guess you don't notice anything about him that indicates that he has the taiva. So mainly I have a question, is it safe to think that he's a taiva for men? But that means that you don't see any indication that he has taiva for men either. So why don't you assume for the fact that he has no taiva for men that he has taiva for women? Like, that because you're not seeing any taiva for women that he has a taiva for men. So I'm not sure the pshat behind this question. I was struggling with it. So I'm not sure.
It's a lot easier to hide a taiva for men.
So that he can stay in yeshiva.
Either normal or not normal, so it's not really any ground here.
Yeah, but you don't see anything. So why are you assuming that because you don't see anything, it must be for men?
Because most people usually have a certain way to handle the woman.
That you could see.
Or which you could usually tell.
You mean the people that have taivas for men, they're not raging? Okay, we're ready to say in Chiddushim tonight? I don't know. Okay. If yes, what's the solution to help him? I think that the biggest struggle that these people have is dealing with the impressions that they have of themselves, and it's usually very, very off. They're usually a lot more normal than they think. The hair I had, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, it says that you're not supposed to look at animals that are mating. In the siman that discusses the Isser of Zerah Levatola, it says that you're not supposed to look at animals that are mating. That means that Chazal expected that to be a certain level of provocation, I think that's a word, that a normal person would have from such a scene. Now, that's not to say that Chazal are expecting the average person to have taivas for animals, but there's a certain level of provocativeness that such a scene is expected to create, even for your average person, and that's why it's usher to look at it. So people have to understand how extreme our minds are and how easy it is for a person to be, for his taiva to be nisora. It's pretty clear from what we're allowed to look at, what we're not allowed to look at, that it's pretty extreme. And when we realize that, I think a lot of people can have a lot easier time of dealing with certain slight tendencies that they have. And I think that's usually the, I don't know, usually, but very often, that's a struggle that people have, is understanding themselves. And when they come to the realization that certain things are expected from a normal person, in Chazal, it's a lot easier for a person to hand to themselves. Is it dangerous for the yeshiva? Everything is dangerous for the yeshiva. When I was in Forest Hills, the dormitory was packed. There were about 8 guys in a room, and the rooms were smaller than the dormitory rooms over here. So the rooms were quite packed, and they still couldn't fit everybody, so they rented some apartments a few blocks away from the yeshiva on Metropolitan Avenue, but these apartments had very small bedrooms. They were only able to fit 2 beds in a room. And the yeshiva made the hanhala take the doors off all the bedrooms. So in general, we have to take serious precautionary measures when it comes to these inyanim. I mean, Chazal did an aser yichud, but I guess Rosh Hashanah did. but in general, we have to take these precautionary measures for everybody. Okay, enough said about that. These two together. How do you get rid of her hurim? And don't tell me through learning and going to the base medrash. It doesn't work. It's because you're not learning Ian. I tried from experience to go to the base. Okay. Another question here. I've only heard of ways to decrease the nisayon of taiva, like not having internet access and playing sports and not going to certain places. Are there ways to work on decreasing the taiva itself? I like that question. Some people have the misconception that, and I think this is actually what the Christians do, maybe they're really devout Christians, but some people have the misconception that, that the way of dealing with taiva is by convincing yourself, changing your mindset that it's really disgusting. But that's not the Torah approach, and it's actually dangerous. The better way of dealing with it, and I'll give you this this mashal in the following way. Second. Okay, what color is my tie?
Green.
Okay, so a few of you noticed, like Tigan. Okay, that's not a riot. But I'm sitting here in front of you for 5 minutes, and most of you probably didn't know the answer to that question, unless you think it's a really nice tie. Maybe it just struck you a little more. But what's pshat? You're sitting here, you're looking at me for the last 5 minutes, but is it sticking out in the back of my collar? No. But even though you're seeing it, you're just not paying attention to it. You're not focused on it. That's the, I think Rabbi Luban gave the scenario. You're standing, crossing Miami Gardens Drive, and looking both ways to see the cars going by. You're seeing every single car. But if I asked you right after the car went by, what color was that car? What type of car was? Unless you're really into cars, and unless it was a very impressive car, you don't know. Even though you were looking at it. So the approach is definitely not to change your mindset and tell yourself that it's disgusting, that could have dangerous long-term effects. That's not what we believe, and the better way to do it is to distract yourself from it. Okay. So I think In terms of this issue of ways of decreasing the taiva itself, taiva is a complex thing. In terms of how much does it really exist, and how much is it just in our imagination? There's a concept of pas basala. What's the concept of pas basala? That yeah, if you have bread in the basket, you're not as hungry. What does that mean? I'm hungry. I didn't eat for 24 hours, so I'm hungry. But if there's bread in the basket, I'm not so hungry.
I'm still hungry.
Are you? Is it pshat that you're still just as hungry? I'm not sure. Is it pshat that you're still just as hungry, just you could control yourself more easily because you know that you could have a sandwich whenever you want? Or is it pshat that you're not as hungry? So it could be by the bread, you're just as hungry, but you can control yourself because you know that you have it more. I'm not sure. It could have pshat over there also is that you're not as hungry. But I think when it comes to these areas of taiva, it's more than that. I think the whole taiva is very much in our dimyon. The taiva itself is its own monster that gets created. I'm pretty sure, I don't know where it is, I didn't have a chance to look it up, but I'm pretty sure that Chazal say that the reason why people in general don't have taiva, let's say for a sister or for a mother, is because of the fact that it's so unacceptable in society that you have no havamina of doing such a thing. Now, that doesn't just enable you to maintain your control because people are going to think you're crazy. That takes away the taiva. The taiva is not there anymore. So a lot of the taiva, the urge, that monster that we have inside of us is, I think it's different than being hungry, unless it could be even by being hungry. We could do that in our mind. But a lot of it is the koach hadimyon of what we imagine it to be. I'll give you another example. I think I may have given this example last year at Avad. I was talking to a guy. He was here in Florida over the summer, staying by himself. Had a car and was telling me how he has crazy, crazy taiva every single night to go get into his car, go to places he shouldn't be going. Unbelievable battle he's battling with himself. So I asked him what happens on Friday night. He's like, I'm not going to drive a Shabbos. Okay, but what happens to that crazy urge that you have? What happens to that taiva? He says, it's not a battle because I'm not going. So that's I think that's a very strong indication that the whole taiva itself is, the whole taiva, a major part of the taiva is a figment of our imagination. It's in our head. The fact that we're entertaining the possibility of giving in to our taiva makes the taiva so much greater. The more we're committed to not giving into our taiva, and the less of a havamina we have of giving into our taiva, I think that itself, in reality, reduces the taiva. And a big part of the reason why it's such a big nisayon is because of the fact that we're really entertaining the possibility of giving in. So stam it's a chizuk to be mechazik ourselves, our commitment. The stronger our commitment is to not give into our taivas, the greater our ability will be to not give in, because the less of a taiva we'll have. But I think even beyond that, we see for ourselves, I think it's very rare when it comes to any taiva where a person has a huge cheshek to satisfy his taiva. It's very rare that his feeling after he satisfies his taiva, even in a mutter situation, was that was as good as what I was desiring, because our imagination of what it's going to be is never going to be, I don't know, never, but is very rarely as good as what the taiva really is, as good as the pleasure really is. So stam, the whole taiva that we have very often is in our imagination. So in terms of minimizing the taiva itself, I think it is possible to minimize the taiva itself through these intellectual dehers, that the taiva is not really all that it's made out to be, and a lot of it is just in our mind. And when we have that appreciation, it's easier to battle when we could tell ourselves that it's not really that great, or I'm not ready to give in. The taiva itself gets minimized. It's not just a matter of avoiding the Malkum Yisrael, which is something that we definitely have to do. I happen to think that playing sports also, my understanding of why that helps is that also minimizes the taiva. It's not just a distraction, but it actually has physical effects on the body that it could actually minimize the taiva as well. Is it true that being Motzei Zera causes hair loss? or klipos that take your money? Should we be worried about these things? For example, I lost $200 from my wallet and I looked everywhere. Also, no one stole it. So is it safe to assume that the klipos took my money? What? So I'm not really familiar with this kind of stuff, but a couple of years after I started teaching over here, so I was back in Key Gardens one Shabbos, and I went to Shmuz with Herbert Trapper. So I was telling him some of the different situations that I was trying to help the chever with, and he told me that there's this sefer, I forgot the name of the sefer that came out, that certain people were very excited about it, but that dealt with these inyanim, but he was recommending to people not to read it. So he said, because there's a certain chapter in there that talks about the chomer achet, the different onshim, and people shouldn't read that. So I said, okay. So I said, at least we should have the Rebbeim read it, and let them understand the Chomer Achid, so they'll give the issue the proper attention. They don't have to talk about Chomer Achid, but let them at least understand it, so they can give it the proper attention. So he says to me, and who says they can handle it? So I said, okay, fine, let's move on. But that's why I don't know about these things, because I never read about it, but certainly the Masorah that I have is that it does not this is not the way to inspire ourselves to deal with these nisyonos. On the other hand, what does Rebbe think about motivating oneself in this area by assuming that Hashem will give him a beautiful wife if he's matzliach? That could probably provoke your herm as well. So I don't know if that's a I don't know if that's a wonderful way of doing it. But I'm pretty sure there's a Rambam. I don't think he focuses on the beautiful part, but I'm pretty sure there's a Rambam that talks about giving treats to little kids, and as people get older, promising them a good shidduch if they go on the right path. So in a certain way, it might be a good mahalach. But then you have the question: what's the best way to not get down if one is nichshol? The Yetzer Hara has a tremendous attack when it comes to these areas of focusing on the loss. I was just cruising with one of our high school guys and Ellie Feldman, and he was telling me that there's this mitzvah in football that they call the case of the drops. That the it seems that they discovered that a player is much more likely to drop a pass again after he dropped a pass once. And the study showed that once a player drops a pass a few times, he could lose his whole intensity in the game. He changes his whole personality because he loses his confidence in the game. He's the same player, just as talented, but when he errors like that, then he could lose his confidence. The Yetzer Hara has its way of getting in. He was telling me it used to be that when a player dropped the ball, so they pulled him out of the game. They benched him for a little while. They put in a sub, and the guy would you know sit there on the bench and like what happened to my hands? Like he would just be giving himself muster about how bad he is for dropping that pass that was right in his hands, and that would be more likely to cause the case of the drops. And now they stopped doing that, and if a player drops a pass, the bedavka pass it to him again right away in the next play, as long as he's open, I guess, and to get him back into the groove, to get him back into feeling successful. So the Yetzer Hara has a tremendous ability to get us down after we're nichshol, because he knows that that's really what he has to do to get us into that groove of the case of the case of the drops. And we have to change our focus. We have to focus on how good we are and how well we're playing and our talents, our capabilities and our high score in order to avoid that. When we focus on the Chomer HaChet, so then we get ourselves into trouble, because that's much more likely to get us down. If you would have a coach that would say to his team right before they got on the field, guys, listen up, you lost the last game, and you lost the game before. You lose this game, it's going to be three in a row, and that's really bad. And you remember that pass that you dropped, and you remember that interception that you gave up. You guys want that to happen again? Now get out there on the field and do something about it. He would probably lose his job very quickly, because every coach knows that's not the way to get people to be successful. You gotta give them a pep talk. You have to tell them how good they are and how they could destroy the other team. But because there's a concept of harata, so the Yetzer Hara gets in there and says, "No, have a shtickl harata. You know, that's part of the Jewish process. Have a shtickl harata. Feel bad about yourself. If you don't feel bad about yourself, you think you're ever gonna improve? You know, have a Musa Seder, and talk to yourself about what a bum you are. And okay, you have a Musa Seder, you feel good. I'm doing shuva, but it's mamish if I care it. And you look through Chazal. I think Rabbi Luban quoted it in his Musarvad last week, the Chazal about Eliyahu HaNavi finding this guy in the street who's making fun of him, and he gives him a little bit mussar for not learning his whole life, and it hits home, and the guy starts crying, and right away Eliyahu HaNavi says, "Relax, take it easy, it's not so bad. A lot of people are like you." The guy is finally having harata. He's finally doing tshuva, and Eliyahu HaNavi is telling him, "Stop crying. What's pshat?" Pshat is that Eliyahu HaNavi was sensitive to the case of the drops, and he wanted to make sure that wasn't going to happen to the guy. And he sensed that, okay, you had your harata, now make your kabbalah lawson. Now move forward, get back into the game, and catch the next pass, and you could move on. So we have to be very careful, and focusing on the chomer achet is very dangerous. And
you have to have harata or tshuva, like I already said. So where do you draw the line in terms of feeling bad at the same time not focusing on the chomer achet?
probably a lot before you would think we would draw the line, because we're thinking with our Yetzirah. So I don't know exactly.
Are you just should try to some karate?
What?
Is it that I just avoid the whole like karate and other areas?
I don't, when it comes to these things, I don't think we have to try to have karate. Like you have a question over here. Where is it? This Rebbe thing called Tzotzar Levatola is the biggest obstacle to a person's success in yeshiva because of its effects on his self-esteem and his happiness. I don't think people ask that about any other avera. There's a certain natural harata that people have when it comes to these things. I remember we had a session with Rebbe and with Dr. Goldman, and he was tying that it's because the reason people feel so bad is because it's not necessarily because they know the chomer achet and they know that this is so much more chomer than bittul Torah or their lashon hara or whatever else they're doing, but he was tining that pretty much all the other averas that we don't do b'yadayim. The fact that this avera is done b'yadayim causes people to have much more anguish over it, and it naturally makes it this way. I don't know. My sense is that for the most part we don't have to worry so much that we're not having enough harata. And if the mitzvah is that we're getting better, that we're being matzliach in our battles, or I should say that we're being matzliach by battling, that is hatzlacha. So then that's what we should be doing. Rashiv used to sing, I can't sing, so I can't imitate him, but he used to sing Al Tira Abdi Yaakov, and he used to say over from his father, Al Tira, we find all over the place that you're supposed to have Yira. So how do you know when it's the good Yira and it's the bad Yira? And he says you gotta look at what are the results that we're feeling as a result of the Yira, and I assume it's the same thing as the result of the Harata. When you have the Harata, are you now pumped and excited and upbeat about doing the Ratzon Hashem because you want to be better? Or are you developing a case of the drops? If that Harata is making it much more likely that you can be Nichshol again, then it's coming from the Yetzirah and get away from it. You look at the Yisod HaTshuva from Rabbeinu Yonah, right after the many of the Shari Tshuvas, he talks about when a person's ready to do Tshuva, his first step, obviously it's got to be after some sense of Harata, but his first step is that he has to play a mind game with himself and pretend that he was just born again Jew, because otherwise, it's going to be too difficult for him to really have the right mindset to do tshuva. So these averas are very old to the Yetzirah getting in there, or Trapp used to call it the Satan Me'acharenu, because we don't have the hair that is it's the Satan. He presents himself as the firm Yetzirah, telling us about the Chomer Chay, telling us about how terrible we are, getting us to develop that case of the drops, and we've got to do whatever we can to really avoid that. Okay, let's spend a little time on this. I think it's a good question. Obviously, we can't do it because the Torah says it's usher, but technically, what's the problem with Shechazera Vatala? I'm not married, so I'm not having kids now, and your cells die every 2 to 3 weeks or so. So why is it a waste of Zera? It's not wasting if it can't be used right now. Okay. So I don't know the answer to this question. I don't really know the lumdus of the Isser. Is it because you're wasting, or is the Isser to be Motzei Zera L'Atala? I don't know. I just don't have the Bekiyus. I suspect that it is like this guy is saying. I don't really know the answer to that. But really, pshat in this question is that very often when it comes to averus, when it comes to mitzvahs, if we have a better understanding, obviously we're never going to be yorei the sof das HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the more we have an understanding of the mitzvah, the more we could appreciate how it's affecting us. Usually, that's a big help to be able to do the mitzvah. And the mashmos from this question of could I use the tafula of if I do the Ratzon Hashem, then one day I'll get a beautiful wife. putting those two questions together, I think we could have the following appreciation. I've heard this from Per Chopper. I've heard it from Rabbi Dr. Goldman. The Matzias is like this: that there's a concept of Histakel b'Raiso bar Alma, that Hashem looked at the Bria, and as a result of the Bria is a result of the Torah. He used the Torah as the blueprint of his creation, and it affects many many different things. Just Hashem looked at the Torah, and it says Bris Milah is on the eighth day. So Hashem made it that's the day in a baby's life where he has the highest level of platelets to, I think that's what they're called, to clot the blood when he has his Bris Milah. It says in the Torah that if an animal has a hole in its lung, it's a trefa. So Hashem created the animals that if they have a hole in their lung, they're going to die in a year. If it has a hole in its foot, it's not a trefa. So Hashem created the animal that if it has a hole in its foot, it could live. Hashem looked in the Torah and it said that animals that have split hooves and chew their cud are kosher, and there's an inyan of shechita. Other animals, there's no inyan of shechita. So all kosher animals have their, I think it's called the carotid artery in the front of their neck, and as soon as they're shechted, the blood quickly drains out of their neck. Animals that are not kosher have one in the back of the neck, and shechita would be inhumane for those kind of the animals. So there's lots of this concept of histakel b'raiso bar alma. It's true when it comes to these things also. We want to have a enjoyable life when it comes to physical intimacy one day at the right time. And Hashem created the Bria in a way that if we follow the Torah, that will happen. We're hearing from Dr. Goldman, who has lots of life experience, and he tells that the people that have the most pleasurable physical intimacy in their lives are the people that are committed Jews and following halacha kedasu kedin. And in short, I think the way that works when a couple gets married, at least in our circles, the love that they have for each other, if you want to call it that, is very much infatuation, because what's it really based on? Okay, I don't know, they'll tell you they share the same interests, they enjoy hanging out with each other, he paid for her meal and for her Diet Coke when they went to the lounge. Okay, they enjoy hanging out with each other and they can't stop thinking about each other, but what is the love really based on? It's really a stage that Hashem created to enable people to get married, because otherwise they wouldn't get married. So Hashem created the stage of infatuation, but it doesn't last forever. It's pretty short-lived. So how do you develop a situation where that actually grows into love? The way that such a situation develops is through giving. The more a person gives, the more a person loves. I'm pretty sure that's how the Bali Musar learned that's part of the pshat, at least as to why there's so much love between parents and a child, because there's so much giving. So giving is what really results in love. Hashem created a certain teva in the Bria that enables that to happen. A man has a very strong taiva to be physically satisfied. A woman has a very strong need to be taken care of emotionally. And what do you know, the way Hashem set up the Bria is that the woman is going to want to respond physically when she's taken care of emotionally. It's the idea of romance, the idea of the date. So Hashem set it up in a way that the man is going to be very motivated to take care of his wife, to take care of the emotional needs of his wife, because he's going to want that physical response from her. Now, it's not always so easy, and it's not always so instant, and it could take a long time. You know, she had a hard day at work. She has the fetchy kids and dirty diapers and dishes and laundry to take care of. So it could take a lot of effort, and it might require some patience. It might require some self-control. It might require some selflessness. Now, if from the time a person started developing his taivas until he started getting married, the teva that he developed in himself is that I have a taiva, I figure out how to satisfy my taiva. So now he's going to get married, and it's going to end up being the same thing very, very often. And he's going to lose out on that opportunity to be giving to his wife. And she's going to lose out on the opportunity to be wanting to give to him. And by the time the infatuation is gone, the love didn't kick in. And their relationship was really not built. And it's going to begin disintegrating because the infatuation is gone. And they haven't been taking care of each other because he doesn't need her. He has his other outlets. So he doesn't need her. So he doesn't need hers. He doesn't give to her because he doesn't need anything from her. He doesn't give to her. She doesn't give to him. The infatuation is gone. And they're in trouble. And they have to start buying the magazines that give you another 30 tips for your shalom bayis. And they're stuck because the relationship never developed strong enough that they really love each other and they really want to take care of each other and that they really want to be with each other. And they don't even want to be with each other anymore. Whereas if a person is committed to following the Torah, so it's not just a matter of, you know, Hashem will work it out that he'll get a beautiful wife. It's a matter of Hashem set up the Bria that way. Hashem wants a husband and wife to be able to express themselves that way. Hashem wants a husband that brings the Shekhinah into the bias when they have the ability to be affectionate that way. But the best way that's going to happen is through following halacha. So it's a nice little bonus. It's not just, okay, let me make a deal with Hashem, I'll be good, you get me a beautiful wife. But Hashem set it up in the Bria that Gufa, this area that people have a taiva in, if they are following the Ratzon Hashem, they'll be able to enjoy themselves for many, 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 many more years on a much higher level. And we see Taka in the Welt that people are suffering from this, and that's because of the fact, you know, we look maybe at this stage in our lives, well, nothing's us here, they can just indulge, but Lamaisa, long term, they're in very bad shape and they can't maintain the relationships. They don't have the same motivation, the same tachbulas to develop their relationships, and Mimela, even their intimate relationships are not enjoyable and not pleasurable because it's not based in any love, because the love never really got a chance to develop. So Lamaisa, we gotta be proud of ourselves, we gotta focus on our wins, not our not our losses. We've got to realize that Hashem is setting us up for success. He's not torturing us with these halachas. He's setting us up for success. And if we follow the Torah, then we'll actually be getting hana in these areas that we're craving to a much larger extent. And we could use that as an incentive. Everybody saying, Hatzlacha.